life, and we appreciate that. Before we get started, take your copy of God's Word. I want to remember two things, and actually honor somebody today too as well. I felt convicted all week about this. But first off, we have about 50 or so people next door in Vacation Bible School. We have a lot of kids and a lot of workers. I know my wife's over there, and many of your wives and husbands are over there, and we want to pray as they're reaching those kids for Christ, teaching them about God, and showing them the gospel in a neat way for the next couple weeks. It's a five-week deal. It's called Boomerang Express. And so pray for those 50 or so that are over there next door as they praise God and worship God. Also, a couple people I know that are kind of down and hurting. Elton King has had a hip replacement, seen him in the hospital. I see his family back there, and we need to pray for him. And while I was in the hospital, I did a lot of hospital visits this week, and that's not always a good thing, but it is good as a pastor. I want to honor, if you're a nurse or a doctor, you know what? I just want you to stand real quick, if you are, if there's any out there. That's right, if you health care at all, praise the Lord for you guys. That's right. Praise the Lord for that. They do a lot of things that I don't think I could do, and I know I couldn't do. They asked me to help, and I'm like, no, I'm scared. And I appreciate you, and I know that you have almost, I think, more schooling. I have 7 years of college with my theology degree, and I think they even have more than that, if I'm not mistaken, or as much. And so, appreciate y'all. Thank you for that. Let's pray, and let's get going. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for this week, and Lord, all the things that you've put into our life. We pray for the children and the workers next door, Lord, that your name be glorified over there, and that the kids would see who Christ really is in their life. And Father, we pray for those who are sick and maybe hurting and in the hospital today, and for the families thereof around them. Father, we also pray for the nurses and doctors as they give care. What an amazing thing they do when they give their service of help. Father, we pray for this church today that we would see your word be magnified, be manifested in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I hope you're in Haggai. We've been in a little series that I'm actually going to title Giving God Your Best. And in the book of Haggai, the last few weeks, we've studied a lot about him, and it's been a lot of fun as a minor prophet shows us some things in this book. Now, we've seen a lot. Today, I'm going to give you, if I can, a principle, an application, and an example. It should be in your bulletins. It'll be on the board behind me as well. But we got to remember in Haggai, it was a time, I believe, a whole lot like today. It was 520 B.C., and I believe it's a whole lot like 2009 A.D., I believe it's a whole lot like where we're at today. There were people that were, at one time, had a temple, and they were praising God, and they had a pretty good sense of God's dwelling place. And then they were conquered by a group of people and moved away, and now they're back in their land. And for the last 18 years, where we're picking up today, for 18 years ago, 1991, if you're counting for us, they went in and they built the concrete foundation of this new temple where God dwelt. And they were all excited as they built this because they knew that if they built it, God dwelt there. Now, New Testament, on this side of the cross, we know that when we receive Jesus Christ into our life and partner with Him in a relationship that's personal, He dwells in us. And we talked about that, 1 Corinthians 3, write it down if you missed that. But you are the dwelling place for Christ. You, not a building, not a place, but you. And so we got to make that distinction. But for 18 years now, they built the foundation, and then they all went home and thought, that's a lot of work just to be where God is. I think I'll just not go build anymore. I think I'll just stay home, and I think I'll build my own house. I think I'll build me some treasures right here on earth instead of in heaven. And they began to build their own houses. And when you read the Bible in Hebrew, it says they used panels on their houses. The word panels means that it was a fancy deal. You know, like y'all have paneling on your walls. That's fancy. Well, you did if you grew up with me in the 1970s and 60s. That paneling's kind of out now. If you have paneling, take it out. If you like it, keep it. But they put paneling up, and it was a big deal, and they kind of forgot God. And so God has come now in Haggai chapter 2, and he's really going to lay down a law for them. And I want to give you this principle. The principle is this, and then we're going to read the Scripture. And it should be in your bulletins as well. The principle is this. Impurity is more pervasive and easily contracted than purity. Now, I said a whole lot right there, and a lot of you guys are scratching your head going, I don't get it. We had this discussion last night at my house. I don't know if you had or not. I said to my family, all right, here's the deal. And I hope y'all don't look at me weird after this. My daughter called in California. She said, Daddy, we're going to gain an hour, so we're not going to be at the same time anymore, so I get to sleep in. And then she hung up. And I sat and thought about that, and I'm telling you, I must be the dumbest guy on earth. I could not figure that out. I could not get my arms around that. Trey was gone. I called Trey. I said, Trey, get home. You got to explain something to me. Lisa couldn't either. By the way, she's just about like me. Anyway, I said, okay, if we're going to wake up tomorrow at 6 in the morning, what time would we set our clock if we were in California? And me and Lisa both looked at each other like, I don't know. So we called Trey. Trey's our smart kid. Trey walks in, you guys are so dumb. You had set it at 7, and I thought it was 5. But anyway, so don't think your pastor's dumb. I just couldn't figure that out. But in Haggai, they're coming up, and they can't figure out where God is now. They're going, we know that He dwells over there. We know that that's where He is, but we don't want to do that. And today we're going to look at this. Listen, impurity is more pervasive and easily contracted than purity. Who in here feels great? Who just feels so good, healthy today that they can't stand it? Who do I have? Lots of them. Who can I pick on? Who? I can't see. You have to give me a name. Kayla. Kayla feels great. Kayla, you feel great, right? Just great. So if Kayla walks around and she feels great and touches every one of you, will you feel great? No? Okay. Who has swine flu? Okay. I don't want to get in trouble. I could say so. I told my wife she had swine flu, and she said, I do. And I said, yeah, you can't get away from the table. But that I didn't tell her I said that. It was fun. I paid for it later, you know. Donna, you're right in front of me. You always sit in the front. Let's say you have swine flu. If Donna has swine flu and she goes around and touches everybody in here, what's going to happen? They might get swine flu. But how come if Kayla touches everybody and she feels good, we won't feel good? But if Donna touches everybody and has swine flu, we all have swine flu. Why? What is that? Well, Haggai lays that out right here. This is a principle. Get this principle. Impurity is more pervasive and more easily contracted than purity. Look what he says, chapter 2, verse 10. On the 24th day of the 9th month of the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai to the prophet. Thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priest about the law. Now here's where we're going with this. If someone carries holy meat in the fold of his garment and touches with his fold bread or stew or wine or oil or any kind of food, does it become holy? So what he's saying is you take some food and you put it in your garment like this, and I have some food here. Now I walk over and I touch a loaf of bread. Is that bread now unholy because of what I have in my garment? No. No, he's laying this out for you. Look at this. So he said, if someone unclean is con... Well, let's look at the priest said no. The priest answered and said no. Then Haggai said, if someone who is unclean by contact of a dead body touches any of these, does it become unclean? So now let's say I touch a dead body and then I go to shake your hand. Okay? The priest answered and said, well, it does become unclean. Then Haggai answered and said, so it is with his people. And with this nation before me, declares the Lord, and so with every work of their hands, and what, look at this, and what they offer there is unclean. See, what had happened is 18 years had gone by, and the foundation was out there. And finally, the people got sick and tired of being sick and tired, so they said, let's go build it. Let's go do it. Let's go get where God is. Things are bad. The we're in recession. I proved to you in Haggai 1, they were in a deep recession. They had no money. We're in recession and we have no work and we have no jobs and our relationships are falling apart. Let's go build where God is and get God back into our life. And so for 2 months have gone by now, historically, as I study this, 2 to 3 months, they went out and they grabbed their tools and they went to work and they started building temples. And while they were building the temple, about every other week, it says historically, they would go get a lamb and they were slaying the lamb. They were doing what they were supposed to do to make God happy, right? But God tells them through the prophet of Haggai, stop. You're working and building with your tools. You're giving me your lamb and then you're going home to your unclean relationship. You're going home and living like you don't know God. You're not following God. You're just trying to make God happy. Happy, and that ain't going to work. In 2009, doesn't that relate to us? We have a lot of Sunday morning go-to-meeting people, but during the week, we don't have people handing out the bread of life to reach and teach people for Christ. And so Haggai was saying, stop. This is the principle. The Bible says we must pursue God's presence, yes, But in the midst of that, we must not harbor sin in our own lives that will affect people around us. I told my staff this week, the holiness of me and the holiness of them determines the outcome of this church. And the holiness of you determines the outcome of this community. Don't think that just because you're sitting next to somebody that's holy, it's going to rub off on you and you're going to be holy. It doesn't work that way. All of us today must be clear in our minds that we are not harboring sin while we're coming to church, while we're serving offering, while we're singing in the choir, while we're trying to tell someone about Jesus. If we are harboring sin in our own life, we are not pursuing God. Don't miss this, people. Please don't miss this. See, I've got to deal with this myself. I've got to tell you a quick story. Because I realize that my holiness is affecting this church. Just this week, and Trey was with me, and our DOM, Tim Pruitt, our missionary for our association, was with me. And we were all sitting around a table at a grocery store. Hear what I'm saying? A grocery store, praying that God would just bless our community, bless us as pastors, and show us how to reach and teach people for Christ. So we're sitting there, and there's this little table about this big, and all three of us are gathered around. And man, we're holy, ain't we? We're a bunch of pastors sitting there at Fry's grocery store, and we're going to pray up this community. So I start, you know, I pray. And just that morning, God had given me some scripture out of Matthew that said, you know where I'm at? And I'm teaching this to the men on Wednesday mornings. If you would care to join us at 7 o'clock, you're going to learn where God is at Rudy's at 7 o'clock. We're teaching where God is. And God showed me that day. God says, Billy, I'm where people are hurting and people are suffering and people need help. That's where I am. And I said, I won't be there. God, send me. I get up. I take Trey. I meet Tim, our missionary. We're sitting there praying. And then have you ever sat there and you felt the hair of the back of your head kind of go up? You know that someone's watching you and someone's real close. So as I sat there, all of a sudden I got that feeling and I turned. And this lady had rolled up on one of them three-wheel scooter deals that you get at the grocery store. She wheeled up and got about this close to me, my face, which I have this personal space of about like this. She's about like this. And she looks me in the eye with the look that I'd never seen. And she said, I need sugar. I need $2. Just about like that. Right, Trey? I look at Trey. I look at Tim. They look at me. I said, what'd you say, ma'am? And she made it real clear. She said, she kind of went like that. I need $2. I need sugar. I look over at Tim. I look over at Trey. I look at Fry's grocery store. And I say, I don't have $2. I had a 20. And I had a credit card. I didn't have $2. She goes, she wheels around the corner. And then all of a sudden, kind of like I figured out the time thing with California, I went, I'm at Fry's. I got a credit card, and they got sugar here. Hey, guys, we're pastors. We ought to get her some sugar. We get up. She's gone. She's gone. Trey left. Tim left. I go to the manager. Do you know this old lady, where she lives, who she is? No one even saw her that day. No one knows what I'm talking about, except Trey and Tim saw her. Anyway, I get home. And I'm going, Billy, you're just a no good. You get up and you pray, God, I want to be where you are. God, I want to help the sick and the suffering. And then you put them 3 inches from my face, and for $2 I could have made a difference, and I told her I didn't have $2. Instead of saying, go get whatever you want in here, here's my card, I'll pay for it when you leave. I failed miserably, people, just like the people in Haggai did. Oh, let's go build and let's do all these sacrifices, but who's God? We're not going to do what God wants us to do. People, it's time we do what God wants us to do, starting with me. As you men know, I've shared a lot of this with you. It really impacted my life this week. Tore me up bad that I didn't help her. This principle is timeless, people. We have got to remember that impurity is more pervasive and more easily contracted than purity. When there is impurity and uncleanliness, unholiness, and sin, and when it's harboring in us as individuals in our lives, it affects our family. It affects our marriages. It affects our relationships. It affects our church. But most of all, it affects us with the body of Christ. It's a principle. Let me give you an application That was the principle. Application, look at verse 14, chapter 2. When Haggai answered and said, "So it is with this people and with this nation before me, declares the Lord. And so with every work of their hands and what they offer, there is unclean. Our service and worship is always adversely affected by our sin." Write that down. It's in your bulletin. "Our service and our worship is always adversely affected by our sin." Service is the work of our hands. We're working. They had worked for 2 or 3 months trying to serve with their hands. Their worship is what they were offering, but it was unclean. Both are unclean. Why? It's because if you're harboring impurity in your heart, some kind of a sin, you are deceived. Hear me, people. Going through the motions, ushering, doing mission trips, volunteering, you can do all of these things, but hidden sin in your life is unclean. I want to give you a New Testament look at this, if you'll let me real fast. Let's put the grace on this, because I understand grace. I know I receive letters once in a while saying I don't, but I do. I understand grace. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, quickly. I want to show you just some scriptures that you can write down and take with you. Verses 33 and 34 of 15 say, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning, for some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame," Paul writes to the Corinthians. Galatians 5, 7 through 9 gives us another picture. "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Because we learn that sin is always more pervasive." Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. The abuse of the doctrine of grace today. I want to cover that in this application. I meet with people all the time that say, you know, Christians are going around, running around saying, "I live under grace," meaning that there isn't any room for any discussion about what is right or what is wrong. I beg to differ on that, people. There is a right and a wrong. And there is grace. But then there is no self-evaluation in inviting the Holy Spirit to put your life under a microscope because I live by grace. "Oh, Pastor, I don't need to share what I've done wrong, or I don't need to let anybody see what I've done wrong. I don't even need to tell God I have grace and God just loves me." People, we got to wake up. That's going to hinder our service and our worship for the Lord Jesus Christ and who we reach through that. We've got to consider that the disobedience is affecting our family, our marriages, our church, because after all, we live on this side of grace. I got that. Stop it. Stop it. Look at the word of the Lord. He says to see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. But by it many are defiled, the Bible says. Don't presume. Don't think that your sin will not, listen to me today, affect your family and your marriage and your church. Don't assume that. And don't assume that how the holy people in this room, somehow their holiness will override your sin and your disobedience. It's you specifically that Haggai is talking to when he talks about this in the Bible. Don't let it happen, because sin has consequences. Sin is contagious. Sin is powerful. And sin holds the blessings of God from our church and from our families. God told him in Haggai, right here, it says it, that if you keep building and you don't deal with the sin in your life, it won't matter what you do or what you build. And do you see why God couldn't let them just keep going? He sent the prophet to say, stop, get it right, and then move on. People, we're at a point in this church, December 2nd or 3rd, I can't remember the day, we have a council meeting to see if we're going to be able to pull our permit to build a church that'll seat 500 people and it'll do a lot of things for us. We're at a point in our church where we're looking for the right music person, and we have a couple people that we're really praying over and looking at. And we need that in our church, and we know that. But we also know that God has said, stop and look where you're at, church. Start with me and look all the way down. and make sure that we're doing and we're serving and we're doing what God wants us to do. Make sure that while we stop and look again, that we build the temple, if you will, ourselves at the right way and the right time. See, He knew that sin that was harbored in their hearts was going to negate all that they had done. And it would undermine all of that they were looking forward to do. Quickly, let me give you the example. The example is verses 15 and 17 of Haggai. And He gives us a really neat look. The Bible says, as I read on, "Now then, consider from this day onward, before stone was placed upon stone in the temple of the Lord. How did you fare? One came to a heap of 20 measures, and there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat, draw 50 measures, and there were but 20. He gives us an example here. 17 says, "I struck you and all the products of your toil with blight and with mildew and with all the hail, that you did not turn to me, declares the Lord." See, God historically has withheld His blessings because of His people's disobedience. This is a historical fact that we've read through the Bible. Let me give you a couple quick examples. The Old Testament, Joshua walked up to the walls of Jericho. No way he should have been able to overcome them. He marched around 7 times and on the 7th day shouted, and the whole place demolished. And God said, "Go in there and wipe everything out and take nothing." And that's what they did. But one guy, Achan, took something. So the very next battle that they should have won easily in Ai, they go into fight and they got it handed to them. They got beat. And Joshua's going, "God, I whooped Jericho and I can't beat little Ai." And He said, "Well, there's sin in the camp." And it was Ai. We got to remember this, that the example that He's given us. Quickly, I want to give you the promise. The promise is in verses 18 and 19. "Consider from this day onward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, since the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider. Is the seed yet in the barn? Indeed, the vine, the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree have yielded nothing, but," underline this, "from this day on, I will bless you." This is a promise. When you understand and you respond with repentance that sin is harboring in your life and in your heart, God says, "I will bless you." God says, "I will bless His people when they come to the knowledge of repentance." Question for the day, as I kind of close, stay with me, I'm almost done. I want to ask you today, did I please God? Ask yourself, did I please God this week? Did I please God today? And I have to say, no, on Tuesday morning, I didn't please God when I didn't help that elderly lady buy some food. But I ask you, what about today? Did I please God? This week, this year, as Christians, listen to me, we live to please God and God Himself. We don't live to please ourselves, and we don't live to please others. We live to please God. Hear me. This is what Haggai is saying. Read Hebrews 11:5. It says Enoch pleased God. It's not enough today to say that you're a Christian. It's not enough to just go to church. It's not enough to even sing in the choir. It's only enough when it's our number one priority in life to please God. See, He's looking for people who have fruit in their lives. I look out and I see a lot of other pastors out here today. You know what? We run into people all the time. We say, "Hey man, are you a believer?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "What are you doing for God?" "I went to church on Christmas. And Easter too." "Yep. You're a CEO, Christmas, Easter only type person." Listen, people, it's not enough. He's looking for the fruit. He's looking for people who have been transformed, and He's looking for people who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Anybody can claim Christianity. I've figured it out. Anybody can say they're a Christian, but not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter in. Let's go green here today. I hear all this stuff about green. See, the Lord, He knows. I've seen a lot of people who are real leafy and real green about God, but they have no fruit. God says, "I'm looking for the fruit." There is no fruit, and He says He will entangle those people with the cares of life who have no fruit. Have you denied yourself, and are you now pleasing God? See, if I'm a Christian, I don't live for myself. If I'm a Christian, I didn't sit here this morning and go, "I wish the preaching was better. I wish the music was better. I wish I didn't have to give." If I'm a Christian, I'm here to please God. I'm here saying, I can't wait to get up and go see what I can give to God today. Live for God. Listen, young people, I'm going to get real bold here right now. Listen to me, young people. Everybody look up here. Here's my Bible. If this book says do not party and do not have premarital sex and do not live for self and do not live in ungodly relationships, if this book says don't care about anybody, what they think about you, but only think about what I say to do and be set apart, young people, do it. And old alike, amen? If the book says it, we got to do it. If you're a Christian, don't just say you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you live to please God and God alone. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches, people. And if a man remain in me and I in him, he says, you will bear much fruit. So if you don't have fruit, you're not with him. People, show the fruit today. The world is watching to see a demonstration of God's love and power exemplified through you, the true church. When the lady rolls up on the wheelchair and needs sugar, get her some sugar. Lord, forgive me for that. We've got to get this. We've got to live right. And we've got to please God. No change in your life? No way. Get excited about the Word of God. I thought about this week. If you're going to listen to music, listen to something that pleases God. And if you're going to go to work, work as though it pleases God. And listen, everybody, if you're in marriage, be married like it would please God. Oh, we're in trouble today in our relationships. And by the way, if you're single, your lifestyle should please God. I got to read the scripture to you. God just told, I'm telling you, He's talking to me. And it says, go to Matthew 3:10. Let's read it. Let's get there and let's hurry up and read it. Okay, I read this week. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. People, if I had an axe in my hand right now, and I got my Alaskan friends from here, they know how to chop trees. If that was a tree right there, I wouldn't just take that axe and go blam, 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 blam. I almost messed up my glasses. I would take that axe and I'd go, I'd mark it. Amen? And then I'd mark it again. That's where I'm going to hit it. This verse right here is saying that when we don't live with fruit, God has already taken and making us a mark. Hear me. I'm going to get real serious right now. We're about done, so it's time to get serious. This verse tells me that the wrath of God is coming to this world, and the wrath of God is coming to America, and the wrath of God is coming to the church, and the wrath of God is coming to you and me if we do not do something about what's going on in our lives. It's not about the little getting up and going to church Sunday people that is dead. If you are living here today to please God, then when the wrath of God comes, see, God right now has America, you know, the tree in our churches and our lives. He's made the mark, and pretty soon we're going to wake up and the people of God are going to be gone. But those that He has marked are going to be left here and live for a hell. In hell. God is marking those today who are not pleasing Him. He is making a mark on those today who are not pleasing Him. He's making a mark on those. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that those people who do not please God already have that mark placed on them. And listen to me. Living loosely and unholy is not a light thing today, people. You are placing a mark on you to be chopped down and burned in the hell. Pastor, we don't want to come to church. We make us feel good. I'm trying to make you feel good. When He comes, you're going to be on your knees, and you're going to be, everybody's going to be crying and going, oh God, I didn't mean it. So I'm trying to help you so you can look down and go, thank the Lord Billy was tough on us because now we're with Jesus. Amen. Thank the Lord somebody finally spoke the truth. No fruit, no pleasing God daily, then you've got a mark, people. God is about to chop and throw America, hear me, into a fire. And this is no game. This is about eternity, our nation, our families. This is serious stuff. You can't just kick back and come to church anymore. Just can't. You can never let down your guard, people. Come on. We can never stop praying and we can never stop fasting. We can never get out of God's house. If you do, impurity is more easily contracted than purity. I already shared that with you. Listen, and then I'm through. Thank the Lord, somebody say. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 says, the lukewarm people are spewed out of his mouth. How about you? Are you in the middle today? Are you lukewarm? Have you lost the excitement and the emotion of serving Jesus? Are you just sitting out around a table praying for your community, and then when your community hits you right in the face, you look at them and go, no, as your pathetic pastor did? People, we got to wake up. It's just Jesus, you say. It's just the Word. I don't even tremble when I read the Word anymore. It doesn't break me down anymore. Then wake up. Shared this with Trey last night. I said, Trey, may this be your ministry. May you never lose your ears. May you never hear God. Listen to me, people. May you never lose your ability to hear God. May you never lose your tears. May you never lose your emotion when you see somebody broken, or maybe you're even broken. May you never lose your tears to cry out for God and your zeal. And may you never lose your fear of God. And I'm afraid today we've lost our fear of God because it's just a big show during worship time usually, and we don't worship. We just go like this. If we have not lost our ears and our tears and our fears when we worship God, we should be like this with our hands out or on our knees begging God to love us and take care of us and begging God to forgive us because we're pathetic like I was this week. But I'm not going to lose my ears and my tears and my fears. See, I'm not going to lose it, church. I'm going to give God my promise, and I've rededicated this week. I am going to not lose that in my life. And the very next day, I'm with some of my brothers, and a little man about this big walked up, and he didn't speak English. And he looked at me, and he said something in Spanish. And I looked at my brothers, and they all said the same thing. He's hungry and needs food. And my brothers put their arms around him, and we fed him food the very next day. The very next day. He said, Pastor, you failed, and you're a terrible, wretched, miserable pastor, but I'm going to give you another chance tomorrow, and let's see what you do tomorrow. And tomorrow we fed the man. And I'm telling you today, you may be wretched like I was, but today's a new day, people. Let's stand up and let's have our ears and our tears and our fears back to God. Get right individually and watch us explode, reaching and teaching men and women, boys and girls about Christ. Watch. Praise the Lord. That's right. Praise the Lord. Trey, if you want to start playing, we're going to have a time of invitation this morning. And I'm the first one to walk down the aisle today, and I've already shared with you in my confession how miserable I am. And I'm asking you to get right with God today, to help me help God to reach and teach this community for Christ, where this place is so full, we have three services. Amen. And we can do it. It's not about numbers. It's not about any of that. It's about getting people right with God today. So bow your heads with me. We're going to pray. Father God, we come to you today, and I pray that there's somebody here that maybe not even sure that they have Christ in their heart. They're going through the motions like the young man that were baptized this morning. Help them to get it, Lord, today. And Father, I pray that there's people here today that would partner with me in this church and say, I'm going to join this church. And I'm going to watch how I live and be holy. And I'm going to help reach people for Christ with you, Pastor. I pray that people would join us today. Father, most of all, I pray that people would receive you in their life. Father, these altars are open. And I pray that as we're broken and our ears and our tears and our fears are touched today, that we'll get right with God, set a holiness standard, and let's go get them for you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Will you stand with me this morning as we